did not get a chance to watch the Georgia hearing yesterday, go over to Right Side Broadcasting and watch it. There are so many amazing testimony proofs, mathematical equations to prove the fraud in Georgia. I was so angry watching this that I started crying twice. I'm not a crier. I don't cry. But I am so enraged by what has been perpetrated against us that I started getting teary-eyed. I mean, it wasn't like out of control or anything, but it is shocking. It is shocking what has happened to us. So I have a bunch of video clips from that you need to listen to. I will have an encouragement and an exhortation for you guys. And that's going to be the show. I hope they've been long. I apologize for that. You guys have been continuing to listen, so I'm guessing you guys appreciate it and are enjoying it. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone sharing the show. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. You can find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, Matt at howtobuildatent.com. A lot of you have been emailing me, and I love it. So thank you. Keep it up. Keep emailing. I really appreciate you guys reaching out, and I love talking to you guys and seeing where you're at and what you think and all that good stuff. We're part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network over to flfnetwork.com. Put an HGBT in a memo field. You get a sweet mug like the ones behind me. You get tons of other great benefits as well. But you'll be supporting us as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in every area of life. And boy, does every area of life need it. Every area of life definitely needs it. All right, so let's get into the show. First, I want to say something. And I'm going to start off with this verse, guys. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's the ESV version. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, we are facing in this time, in this season that we're in, psychological operations, psychops, where we now know that the media is bought and paid for by the Chinese, the CCP, just like some of our politicians are and our businesses as well, our large corporations. And there are a lot of you, and I've been hearing this a lot, and some of you listen to the show and I've interacted with you on social media. You're going to think I'm talking about you specifically, but I'm not, because I've heard this from several people throughout the last couple of weeks. And it's the defeatism. It's, I'm going to just, what's the point? We keep hearing about these big bombshells, but nothing happens. What are we going to do? This is normal. Do you think that the enemy, do you think the people that went through this elaborate plan that we're going to see video evidence of in a second in across this country, they spent a ton of time and a ton of resources to do this? You think they're just going to hand it over and make it easy for us to take the victory? Does that happen anywhere in life? Does that happen when you start a company? Do you just immediately get wins? No, you do not. Do you don't immediately get a payoff when you go get your master's degree? Do you immediately get a win? No, it's years of grueling endurance. It's perseverance. It's day after day, riding the ebbs and flows. This is life, guys. And for it's the election happened almost 2 months ago. For 2 months, we've been at this. For 2 months. That's such a small amount of time. And the payoff and the threat, if we do not win, is too great to give up. Some of you, after we get through this season, are going to think about starting companies. And you're going to think about learning a new trade or learning a new skill. It's going to take longer than 2 months to master and to be successful at anything worthwhile. And so you might as well today resolve in yourself what it takes to win. The only way you can guarantee you're going to fail is to give up. And 2 months is not long enough. You have not fought long enough. You have not spent long enough. You have not given enough. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about effort. I'm talking about encouragement. I'm talking about the fight. You have not given enough yet. Jesus says in his word, do not grow weary of doing good. And there's a promise attached to this. In due season, maybe not this season, maybe not within 2 months, you will reap if you do not give up. And I'm hearing a lot of language and of a lot of conversations of people giving up. Now is not the time. You have not given enough yet to give up. The prize and the punishment are too great to give up now. And we have this promise. And ultimately, beyond this physical life, our Lord and Savior has told us and given us the commandment, do not grow weary. So we need to submit to that commandment and obey him and not grow weary and continue to do what is right, to do what is good. And secondly, I want to tell you guys, if you are feeling down, if you are feeling discouraged, do not post it on social media. Do not post it for other people to see it. I have said on the show, and others have said it as well, courage is contagious. Fear, doubt, negativity is 100 times more contagious. And we don't need any of that now. And we don't need to hear your negativity. And we don't need to hear about the times that you want to give up. Not now. Not now. Because that's going to spread to other people. And we need people to be exhorters, to be encouragers, not people that are going to drag people down into the ditch with them. We need people lifting people out of the ditch. And let me say this finally. I know how hard this is because I get discouraged. I get depressed. I feel like I don't want to continue this fight. I feel like it's hopeless sometimes, but I don't convey it on this show, not because I want to be a fraud, not because I'm going to be a hypocrite, but I make damn sure that when I'm coming before this camera, behind this mic, that I have gone to God and I have prayed and I have fixed my spirit because of you guys. I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to depress you. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm never those things, but I owe it to you guys. And whatever leadership role this podcast plays in your life, I want to lead you faithfully in whatever that looks like. I'm not saying that you have to do what I say and all that stuff. Obviously, I'm not an authority over you, but there is some inherent leadership that goes on for people like me in communication that speak to thousands and thousands of people. And you have that too. It may not be thousands and thousands of people, but it is the people that read your Facebook pages. They're the ones who read your tweets. It's your family. It's your church. It's your friends. And you are accountable. The things you say, the things you do impact those around you. And you must take accountability for that, especially in the times we live. I know these lessons aren't taught when the times are good, when it's prosperous, when there isn't these threats, when we're not in these battles, and we haven't learned these lessons, and we haven't had time to do it, but guess what? That's what war is. That's what these battles are. Do you think that the men in World War II, the kids that were 18, 19 years old that got shipped off to war, do you think they were ready and prepared? Most of them were not. But they rose to the occasion. And I'm encouraging you to do the same. So when you do feel like me, discouraged, depressed, bummed out, exhausted from the fight, do not go to social media. Go to your knees and pray to God and have him refresh you, because he's given you a commandment. Do not grow weary. And his commandments are his enablements. Go to him, the source, the cup of overflowing, the bread of life, the light of the world. And don't drag people down with you. And I say that in love, guys. I know I've talked to people, and even the people that I've talked to on social media, that some of them have said I've been harsh to them. My intention is not to be harsh with you guys. Obviously, I love you as brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those of you who aren't Christians, I still love you guys, and I want the best for you. That's why I do this show. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to pick you up and encourage you to come alongside of us and be the faithful leaders God has called you to, wherever your sphere of authority is. All right, let's get to some of these video clips. Pop it up. All right, so this, I'm going to give you the thing that stole the show first. And then I want to go back to two important clips for you. And these are easy, consumable descriptions of what happened, where I think that you could share this show. You can share parts. You can take clips of this. You can look for clips online. And I think anyone else could understand it as well. So let's get to this first one, and then we'll get to the other ones that I think are just as important as this one is. Now, this guy in this first clip and then the third clip, actually, we'll do the first two. It's the same guy. This guy has all the patents for QR codes. He created the QR code. So when you have your passport that you use your phone instead of a physical ticket to scan to get on the airplane, this is his technology. So when you take a picture of a QR code on a product and it pulls up information, this is his technology. He is an expert in all of these things. And one of the things that, if you do go back and listen to this whole thing, specifically his testimony, and a majority of his testimony, he was the second person speaking. He had mastery of his field. He knew everything about his field. And you could see the confidence and the ability to speak simply about it, because he did have that mastery, because he put in the work, because he put in the time. And two things happened. One, he communicated effectively. And two, when the Congress people that were questioning him, or representatives, I don't remember if this was state Congress or state representatives, a committee, when they tried to trip him up, he had the command and perfect answer, because he knew what they were asking and he knew that they were tripping him up. And they knew they were trying to get around and convolute and cloud and make it ambiguous about what he was talking about. But he was able to shield off those attacks and to convey simply to everybody what he was testifying to and what happened from a ballot perspective. And it was phenomenal. And I want to just point that out for you guys, if you want to go back and see it, beyond just the testimony of itself, which is powerful. Think of it from an expert perspective and how effective he was at communicating and rebuffing the attacks because of how much of an expert he was. And that is a goal for you in your careers, in these fights, whatever it is. This is how you become an excellent warrior, is you master your field the way this gentleman did. All right, let's listen to it. We've listened to me enough.
team's working on this and our technology team's into it. And as was broke early in the week and last week about connected devices, at this very moment at a polling location in the county, not only do we now have access through the devices to the poll pad, the system, but we are in. And it's not supposed to have Wi-Fi, and that's not supposed to be able to happen. So we've documented now. It's communicating two ways in real time, meaning it's receiving data and sending data. Should never happen. Shouldn't be Wi-Fi. We've now documented it in real time so we can suck down the data. But that's going on right there where everybody's voting. And I just wanted to get it into the record.
This is during the Senate runoff.
Mr. Jones?
Is it a mobile precinct or is it a...
No, it's a standing building.
Okay.
That this should not happen.
Right.
Shouldn't happen in any way, but this is another one in real time. Won't disclose location because every location is being checked, but we've now confirmed it 100%.
Right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Senator Beach, did you... And now come to Sil Beach and Tillery. Did you have a question?
I just want to make some closing
comments. Okay, Senator Tillery.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We've heard that there's three different types of machines, a scanner, a ballot market device, and a polling pad.
Right.
Do you know which one it is communicating, or can you tell that?
Right now, what you heard in the past was coming through the thermostat and stuff. This is now a more direct access way, and so this is coming through the polling pad device where they're checking everything. But now, you know, it only takes one device where you daisy chain them together and do it. The most important thing is that shouldn't be two-waying and even shouldn't be accessible or on. And it's there. Were there any other questions?
Okay. So this is the second time he's come up. Before, he testified, and then he came back up, and the guy that you just saw at the end, for those of you watching on YouTube, was walking back up. He was the one who had the stage and who had the floor. During the hearing, his team of white hat hackers hacked into the system because the voting machines... Now, the voting machines are in three pieces. There's three parts. And the part that they entered through is the voting pad, which is the touchscreen. It looks like an iPad. You pick your candidates, you pick your whatever the ballots are, the initiatives or whatever it is for your state. It was sending and receiving information online. Now, legally, by law, those machines should not be connected to the internet. And what he said, and a lot of people missed, even that representative or congressman who asked him the question, which device were you into? It doesn't matter which device because they're connected together. And if you're in one device, you're in all the devices. The front end interface is connected to one back end and they all are communicating to the same server back ends. And they could manipulate the votes, change the votes, delete the votes. They can do anything that the system allows through being able to hack in like that. And what he referenced in that video as well, and I think I said it on the show before, is there was news coming out that the pad was connected to a smart thermostat on the wall of the voting areas, sending information to China. And also, I did cover this before, when we were talking about the Michigan hearing where the CEO of Dominion Software, which was the software used in Fulton County, which was, it turns out that's the county he was referencing, the one he's referencing, the Dominion CEO, I believe it was under oath, lied and said none of the machines are connected to the internet. So what's going on, guys? How are they able to hack into these machines and control everything, be able to do anything that the machine has been created to do? Add votes, delete votes, create the algorithms, adjust the algorithms, delete baskets of votes, change votes. How were they so easily able to do it? Our country is under attack. This is a cyber Pearl Harbor. And there are numerous countries that drop these bombs on us. This is more devastating than Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was ships, and sailors' lives. This is the fabric of our country. The fabric of our country. This is why I listen to this stuff and I'm in tears and anger, because they have assaulted us in the most violating ways another country could. Our politicians, our media have sold out to China, have sold us out, sold our kids out. This is war. And there's a bunch of traitors in our midst. All right, let's go to a second video. Now, again, he is addressing in his testimony specifically the ballots. And he's comparing ballots that were sent to Fulton County in Democrat areas that are, and then also ballots that were sent into Republican areas, and they're different. And he's talking about this. Now, this is like a 4-minute clip, but it's so good. And it's so important for you to understand this, because this is another element that we have not explored. And I don't think you've heard at all before. Have you heard anything about the fraud regarding the physical ballots themselves? I hadn't before this. So I think this is really interesting. It's 4 minutes. Even for those of listening on the podcast, I don't think you really need to see the visual, although it's helpful because you can see the video itself and you can see the ballots compared. He has them side by side. He has the blue coded as the Democrat ballots, where there's Democrat areas, these ballots were sent. And then he has the red one coded for where this ballot was sent to where Republicans were. And this is where we talk about the mastery, or where I talked about the mastery before. Listen to how he rebuffs attacks in full confidence, because he knows everything about this. They can't trick him up. They can't get him to be, you know, distracted, getting off topic. He has a complete mastery of it. And so this is why I'm doing 4 minutes of this, because it has a twofold application for us: the actual content, and then from a big perspective, from a business perspective, from a career perspective, the value of being a mastery of your craft. Okay, so here we go.
Color coded them to make them easy. I'm not saying everybody that lives there is a Democrat, and I'm not saying everybody on the right living there is a Republican. I'm just calling your eyes. I use this as coding so you can see what I'm saying. However, what's really interesting to me is the ballot that goes to the Republican area is completed and printed completely off register. You remember when I told you, you feed a dollar to the snack machine and it kicks it back? It's because that dollar's broken. It's off register. The machine says, I don't recognize this. I don't recognize this. What do you want me to do with it? Now, when it comes to a snack machine, it keeps on spitting the dollar bill out at you until you finally put in one it agrees with. At a pen for your bank account to access your money, it's put in the right code. In the voting machines, it's saying, adjudicate me, what's going on here? Well, that's just also like a siding device. You see how far that register is off? It makes the paper talk differently than what the machines trade to look at. Can we roll up a little, please? Yes, sir. I can't hear you very well. I'm so sorry.
Would you agree that the boxes along the left and right side of the ballot create horizontal scanning areas, and the marks along the bottom edge and the top edge create scanning areas, so you have a grid on the paper?
They're like waypoints, like in GPS. It's what tells everything how to communicate. So if you'll scroll back to a bigger ballot, please, so we can look at, keep on going backwards.
For the record, it's not just keep on going until
there you go. All those hash marks on the top and bottoms, all of those are siding communication and adjustment devices. Let me give you an example. Long before computers talked with programs, they talked with paper. They punched little holes in paper, and that's what programming, that's what you're looking at. That's the paper basically telling the machines to program itself. Yes.
So the marks along the left hand and the right, the vertical square boxes,
mm-hmm.
they create horizontal lines or regions on the ballot.
It's only an outside adjustment. It does not create a line.
But for scanning purposes, optically, when it gets to a black box on the vertical edges, it creates a scanning area across the ballot horizontally.
That's not the actual description of what it creates.
I can describe it maybe another way. If you take that ballot right there and you print it out, and you take a straight edge and you draw from the top of the box on the left side to the top of the box on the right side, the bottom of the box on the left side to the bottom of the box on the right side, you create a series of horizontal lines.
You can connect these like a grid, yes, sir.
And you can do the same from top to bottom.
Correct, sir.
So the width of the box on the left and the right has nothing to do with anything other. The width has nothing to do. It could be an eighth of an inch wide or an inch wide. It still creates an eighth of an inch wide scanning region across.
Untrue.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying, but the signature of the ink creates something different. You can't, well, here you go. I'll give you a simple test. Take a $1 bill out of your pocket. Take a $5 bill out of your pocket, cut off the five, put it on the one, run it through your snack machine out there, see what happens. It's all going to be the same size. It's all going to be the same markers. It's all going to be the same detection things, but that's going to kick it back because the computer must see it exactly. So you can do this own test yourself.
So first of all, did you notice the expertise he had there? He had the confidence to tell the guy he was wrong with authority and then give a simplistic example of why he's wrong. If you can do this in whatever field you are on or in, you will be successful. That's the level of mastery that you want to try to achieve in whatever you're doing. Now, did you pick up what happened there? Now, there were some percentages for those of you who are listening on podcast. For around 67 or 68% of districts that are Democrat, heavily Democrat, there was one ballot without a barcode that was on register. That is, that it was aligned perfectly so the machines could run it and scan it and understand the document, the voting ballot that was given. In the comparative areas of Fulton County, same county, the predominant areas that were Republican, and I think the percentage was 67 or 68%, there was a barcode on it, and the ballot was completely off register where the machines wouldn't read the ballots correctly. And that is why there was a 96% rejection rate. 96% of the time, the ballots were not read in that county, in Georgia, I believe, or maybe, no, it was that county, where they had to adjudicate it and send it to somebody isolated by themselves or somebody remoting in. Like we just said, they were connected to the internet to change the ballots themselves. That's the fraud, the coup, the declaration of war, the cyber bombs like Pearl Harbor on us. Every vote that's manipulated is stealing what is rightfully ours. Our rights as citizens, our rights that God gave us, choosing to make us citizens of this country. The citizenship that God has given us stewardship over. Somebody is threatening to steal it from us. This last video, pull the screen up again. This is a group of data scientists. One of them worked for the CIA, defense contractor, works for one of the big four auditing firms, the accounting firms, now that all have Chinese people, Chinese spies, now that we know from the leak. Now watch this and notice and listen for the negative votes. When you have a system where you're tallying, you're counting, there should never be a negative vote, ever. You should never lose votes. You should only gain votes. Every data dump of votes should only increase them. It shouldn't take them away. This is something else that happened in Georgia.
We've just seen a few examples of statistical irregularities and impossibilities. Now, we'll take a closer look at some vote manipulation within the election database, including explicit vote count switching from one candidate to another. We can see in Dodge County, there's a lot of strange activity going on. The left side of the screen shows incremental votes as they were reported for both election day and absentee. On the right, we can see the total vote counts, which should only be incremental, moving as the county reported in real time. Again, here we're focusing only on Donald Trump's votes. So this wouldn't necessarily be captured at the state totals as they're reported on TV, since one county's deduction in votes can be offset by another county's reporting of equal or greater votes. The first question you're going to want to ask, or already have asked, is why are any bars going negative? And the answer is they shouldn't. Unbeknownst to the general public, votes for Donald Trump were being switched and removed from his total, which often coincided with other precinct updates that simultaneously offset deductions so that they appeared to remain neutral to outside observers. Across the three counties of Dodge, Daughtry, and Putnam, Trump has over 30,000 votes that simply disappear. Here, we have clear visibility of an event that occurred at the county level as we compare two data sources. In this case, Donald Trump reported 29,391 votes at 9/11 local time in Bibb County, Georgia. Simultaneously, Joe Biden was reported to have 17,218 votes. Minutes later, at the next reported time update from the precinct data sources, Donald Trump is reported to have 17,218 votes, and Biden now has 29,391 votes. A clear and exact switch of vote totals between candidates. Because there is a time lag between each state reported aggregation of county results, this type of switch can go undetected in state reporting, as long as it falls after the latest state refresh and before the next state update.
So they were taking votes away from Trump and giving it to Joe Biden, and they caught them. Using New York Times data, using the data sources they provided, they have shown and proven this. And we've seen it on TV. We've seen the videos. I've shared them on this show of CNN broadcasting and seeing Trump votes being taken away and being removed. These people cannot get away with this. I know we are so long, but I'm going to close with a story. In seventh grade, I was a big kid. I was 6 foot one, 6 foot two in seventh grade. And so I got in a lot of fights because people would try to pick on the big kid. And this one day, this guy came down and started a fight with me, punched me in the face. And something that I've developed for a reason that we don't need to get into is when I get nervous and when I get in confrontations, I start laughing. And there were kids surrounding us because that's what happens in a school fight, right? And the guy, I just stood there and I started laughing because that was my nervous reaction. And then he hit me again because I was laughing at him. I didn't fight back. I just stood there. It didn't really hurt. I've been punched in the face before. Had a bloody lip, but that was it. I laughed again because I was nervous. He thought I was mocking him. He punched me again. I kept laughing. And then he walked away. Why didn't I fight back? It is not because I had some noble character. It was not because I was righteous in what I did. I should have fought back. I should have fought back. But I didn't, because I was a coward. I got punched 3 times in the face and didn't fight back because I was a coward. I was scared of what people would think of me. I was scared that the principal would come around the corner. I was a coward because I didn't know what would come if I fought back. This election is synonymous to us getting punched in the face over and over again. We look to these legislatures, we look to our leaders and say, have courage, do what is right. And they may, but they may not. And it is easy to tell others. It's easy to be in the circle while you're watching me get hit multiple times in the face over and over again. And being part of the crowd that cheers, fight back, fight back. Have courage, have courage. But when it comes for you to step into the circle, you need to resolve in yourself that you are going to fight back. We're talking about just warfare. We're talking about doing it in a way that glorifies God. But being a coward does not do that. And there is going to be a time really soon in our lives where we will have a choice to play the coward or to be the courageous. And it's not always going to be us telling others to be courageous for us. The time is coming and has come for us to put on courage and to stop just taking these punches because we're cowards. Because we're cowards. The giants are too big in the land. We can never take it. I don't want to circle the desert for 40 years. I don't want my kids to circle the desert for 40 years. I want to stay in the promised land. I don't want to subject my kids to the persecution that the CCP does to Christians, to Jews, and to Muslims in China. You don't think that's coming here? Did you not hear about the list of Democrat politicians that want to put Christians and people that supported Trump on lists to ban them and to persecute them? That was an actual list. We talked about it on Reformgelical. Now is the time to have courage. Now. We'll talk to you tomorrow.